Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Shirley Gutkowski at Crosslink Radio, and we're here to talk to you about health from the eye teeth on down. I am a dental hygienist, and I have been practicing since 1986, and so I kind of know my way around between the lips and kind of on the way down there. Today, we are going to be talking about one of my pet projects, and that is the repair of oral care in long-term care. Turns out that CNAs, the certified nursing assistants, who are supposed to do oral care, have 30 minutes of training in oral care, and it's never painful for the resident until it's painful for the resident, and then obviously it's much too late to do anything about it. So I have been on a mission to try to create a way that is less stress on the CNA and doesn't require a lot of time or effort on to the CNA or onto the facility in order to get this oral care management done. And so, I don't know, it's probably 10 years ago now that I hooked up with Angie Stone, who I know that you know. If you don't, you should look her up. Not the singer Angie Stone, but Angie Stone, the dental hygienist, who has developed a way of improving oral care in the nursing homes by providing oral care by a dental hygienist once a week based on the science. And in between, the resident is using a specialized product, specialized ingredient called xylitol, in an effort to reduce those oral biofilms. So that is where we're picking up today. I am going to be talking with Carol Rozelle, who is a dental hygienist, and she is a hygienist who has taken on with Angie Stone's business called High Life, H-Y-L-I-F-E, and she has been taking care of her mother in the nursing home in Illinois. Well, I'll let her tell you about it. Anyway, so hi, Carol. Oh, boy. Let's see. I got to turn her microphone on. So rusty. Hi, Carol.
Good morning, Shirley. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Sorry about that little glitch right there. Hey,
all right.
So how long have you been a dental hygienist?
I have been a hygienist for 34 years. Graduated in 81. And I've been practicing clinical up until about 5 years ago. And the hand started to give out, and an allergy to latex kind of made my decision to pull out of clinical and start seeking other opportunities. And in the meantime, I had elderly parents and in-laws that needed care, and so I started moving in that direction. And that's how I stumbled upon the need of care in the nursing homes.
So you ended up looking around going, this ain't working, just like I did.
Exactly. Exactly.
So
firsthand.
In Wisconsin, we were, well, you know, I hate saying it this way, but dental hygienists are taught that you can't provide oral care in a nursing home, even with a toothbrush, because you would be providing dental care kind of attached to your license, and you risk losing your license. Is that pretty much the story you get down in Illinois?
Pretty much. I personally have not been challenged on that as far as brushing, because I'm also going in as a daughter. I'm going in as her power of attorney, as her caregiver. So I personally have not been challenged with my mother, but I have had trying to spread the word a little bit more, yes, we're getting the pushback.
It's crazy, right? You're almost better off after learning how to be a dental hygienist, you're better off never getting a license.
Exactly. And it's really sad, because we're not trying to do anything other than help people who really need the help.
One of the things that I ran across last summer when I was at the Medical Directors Association is the idea that these medical directors thought that they have to incentivize the nursing assistants and the nurses or whoever all at the facility to brush the teeth, which is really is a requirement. It is in the list of things that they are required to do every single day for each resident. It just doesn't get done. And when I raised my hand and I said there's an entire workforce of unemployed hygienists whose main goal, whose main incentive is clean teeth, what about those? All I got was an eye roll. So it's an uphill battle. There are dental hygienists who are just like you, who have a latex allergy, or their neck hurts, or their dentist retires for a billion different reasons, who are available now to work in long-term care facilities now that more and more people have teeth.
You're absolutely right. And as I approached, I, of course, first started working on this with my mom. Her working after I had met Angie and heard the research that she had done with you and a number of other people, I wanted to try it out on my mom. I said, I could not get to the nursing home every day. I don't live that close, and plus, with a busy schedule, I physically could not get in there on a daily basis to brush. And so this seemed to be the nirvana. That what a great idea to supplement the daily care with xylitol and then come in once a week or every 5 days. I usually go there once or twice a week to visit my mom, and I do her laundry as well. So I'm there quite often. And it is extremely frustrating. So I started out with my mom, and I then approached the executive director and offered a free of charge. I would be happy to come in and educate the staff, and they kind of gave me the eye roll, and because I was a family member of a resident, we'll let you come in, thank you so much. And when I approached the director of nursing, she says, well, who would you like to talk to? I said, I would like to talk to the whole staff. I would like to talk to the nurses. I would like to talk to the CNAs. I will talk to anybody who would be interested to hear about the oral systemic connection and what we can do for our residents to make their life easier and make it better here, the quality of life improving. And I got the kind of the deer in the headlights and the chihuahua nod, and 12 people were required to show up, and their main concern was, are you going to let them know that we showed up? Is there an attendance sheet so that we get credit for this? So I said, absolutely. Here's the sheet. Sign up. And I started my presentation, and they were absolutely fascinated with the information that they got. And it was simple, simple instruction. It was as if
so
I was coming
in. Did you use the High Life materials, or did you use your own?
I used the High Life material, but we have a PowerPoint, and it's designed to instruct the CNAs. It's directed directly at the staff. So I addressed problems that they had. Why are people spitting at us? Why are they've got all this saliva, and, you know, educating them on the fact that they really don't need that curlicue of toothpaste, that a real small pea-size amount would work. Just approaching them, their entire approach. They come at the residents with a toothbrush like a sword. I said, come from the side. Everything you do is from the side. When you draw blood, when you take a blood pressure, when you give medication, you always do it from the side. So do we. So it was simple instructions.
And hearing it from somebody new makes a big difference too, don't you?
I'm sorry?
Usually it's their boss who's teaching them how to do this, right? A normal CNA kind of experience. And so just hearing from somebody different is really helpful. So you started to do this with your mother. And is it really helpful to do this once a week? To just brush? Well, you're doing it maybe once and a half a week or something. So, all right, so what do you do that's that difference? And as a hygienist, how can you stand it? Because I know hygienists that would flip if we told them to only brush people's teeth once a week. Telling regular people who know how to brush their teeth, who can move their arms and respite and not have to rely on someone else to do it for them, to do it twice a day. How are we getting away with just doing this once a week at these nursing homes?
Well, we are. What I had started to do was I approached the physician and I asked her physician to write a physician's order for dispensing xylitol products. And our choice of xylitol products are the clear products. And I have I've been giving my mom the Spry mints, 3 tablets, 3 times a day. And the physician was I didn't get any argument from the physician, but they were absolutely oblivious of why there was a need, what was going on, what is this product. Absolutely clueless. Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Okay. So I went into the explanation with that. So I did. And, yes, it would drive any other normal person absolutely bonkers to not brush their teeth on a regular basis because we know better. But in this case, with my mom having dementia, it kind of works in our favor because she doesn't remember that she's brushed or not brushed. And that's part of it. My mom is still verbal. She still recognizes me. And she can brush her teeth. When I go in and I'll say, Mom, we need to brush your teeth. Oh, okay. And if I try to approach her, she looks at me and says, what do you think I am, a child? I can do this myself. And she grabs it out of my hand. And so I let her brush. And I'll sit there and watch and kind of give me argument. What are you doing, inspecting? And, so we go through and I go, Mom, you have to understand my mom was a dental assistant. My dad was a dentist. So she's familiar with the language and everything.
It's a lot different, right?
A little bit. And so I'll say, Mom, you missed 8 and 9. And so she goes right there, and she still remembers that. I'll say, Mom, the lower interiors, you didn't go there yet. I'm getting there, and she'll get a little feisty. But so she knows the importance. She knows, but she just can't remember to brush. And and we've even tried introducing an electric toothbrush to her. I was a little hesitant to do that from the beginning because things disappear, and now she has her own private little facility. She's in both skilled care at this point. And so she has a very private room, and things don't disappear the way they used to. So I can have a toothbrush there, and it's labeled, and she uses it, and she's very happy. But it is a challenge. And I started to do that. We started to give that to her, and I was noticing, as I would visit with her, I would notice the inflamed areas around some of her teeth. And I'm thinking to myself, how in God's creation am I going to get her into a dental office and try to clean her teeth? And your mind starts to race, and you can't imagine the logistic problems that you're going to be facing with all of this. So once I started her on the xylitol, things started to calm down, and all of a sudden I saw this healing happening. It's like, well, God, this is really great. And so we kept up with this routine. And again, I started in January, and about May, June, I started to notice that my mom has not had a urinary tract infection. That's an interesting side note. And I started looking up some of the side benefits of xylitol, and there wasn't a lot of information about that helping the urinary tract infections. And you have to understand, my mom had 8 urinary tract infections the previous year.
Wow.
So time's going on, and that was May. We have quarterly reviews with our health care plan, and I didn't say anything. And June or July comes along, the next quarterly plan, and I said, has my mom had any urinary tract infections? No, she's been doing very good. Oh, okay. And I didn't say anything. I figured I'm going to just wait and see how far we're going to go with this. Well, of course, my curiosity only lasted until about October, and I said, they reviewed all the medications, and I said, oh, and by the way, she's on xylitol as well. And if you've noticed, she has been extremely healthy, and she has not had any urinary tract infections. And I said, there are
benefits. Oh, that doesn't have anything to do with anything.
Well, there was dead silence at this point. And all of a sudden I hear papers rustling. And they I says, well, this is my little niche. I says, this is something that I do. And I explain my credentials of working with High Life and working with xylitol. And I says, and you'll notice that my mom has had no aspiration pneumonia, and she is extremely healthy, and she has not had any issues. And, by the way, when was the last time? And is there a possibility of us looking in her records to see how many she had the year before? Well, you would think that I just dropped a bombshell in her lap. And they were very curious. And so I did get the records, and I did have the data that she had 8 the year before. And we went all the way until the first of the year without a urinary tract infection.
So, and like 11 months?
It was 12 months, and she had not had a urinary tract infection. And then when she did have it, they noticed that there was some blood in her urine, but she was not systemic. It was not the usual delirium that a lot of elderly people have. It had not gotten to that point. They noticed a little bit of blood in her urine, and I was insistent that they take a culture. And I said, let's get a sample today. And I have a daughter who is an ER nurse, and she was, Mom, they can do a cath pull or whatever the terminology is. And she says, they can do that. Insist on that. And so we did. Actually, that's when I was leaving for Career Fusion. I says, Amanda, I'm out of town. Call in. Tell them you are in charge right now. Use your authority and get that sample done. Yeah. And sure enough, they put her on antibiotics right away. She did not have, it did not turn into the fever and delirium and dehydration the way it used to. So again, yes, we did have another urinary tract infection, but I do believe that it was not as severe and it was caught early. And we got over it very quickly.
Was it caught early because you knew more about it, or was it caught early for some other reason?
It was caught early because I jumped on it when the first sign of anything. I happened
to be in
the room.
Because you were looking for it, or?
No, I happened. It was a coincidence that I was there. And the CNA says, oh, I was changing her diaper, and I noticed that there was some blood on the diaper. And I said, okay, let's pursue this. Mm-hmm. And I says, can you call the physician and ask for the orders to draw a specimen? Okay, we will. And, you know, that, of course, that's not life-threatening, so it does get put off. And I called the next morning. I said, has it been done? And
you gotta write them.
No,
and it's
not
because they're
yet,
just.
But we will. And I.
And it's not that they're just negligent, is it? It's just that they're freaking busy. It's that they are busy, and if somebody isn't crying or in pain, it's not front of mind. These poor CNAs are seeing how many, like in your, and you've got your mother in kind of a fancy place, right? Do those CNAs see more than, like, 8 residents a day? Do they care for more than 8
to 10.
Each?
10.
That's a lot.
And that is an absolute lot. That is a full load. And, you know, when you think about it, a hygienist can see 8 patients a day. Do that, see all 8 of your patients for the entire shift.
Yep.
You're juggling those many patients. What we see in a day, they're doing for the entire day too, but constant. And I can't agree with you more. These CNAs are top notch. They are so kind to my mom, and they do things, and they're Johnny on the spot. They look. She needs to have her hair cut. Do you want us to set that up? Yes, please do that. You know, should we take her to the beauty shop? Can we? I've been noticing that she's been getting some irritation. Why don't we switch her from this to this, as far as, you know, bras to Tamsol tops, and I think she needs more socks. And they're constantly Johnny on the spot with all of her care. And I really, really admire them for what they do. They are very kind to her. But their hands are full. They've got other patients. And suddenly, when everybody has to go to the bathroom, or you have two people going to the bathroom at the same time, that's a 45-minute job. So you get distracted. And
yep.
You've got to get back on track. And then they're in an activity. And they're going to play bingo, or they're going to listen to music. And suddenly the resident that you were going to brush their teeth, all of a sudden they're gone. So that window of time you had that you thought you were going to get everybody's teeth brushed is gone. Or what happens yep. to the patient that falls asleep before and you're trying to get them back into bed, from the wheelchair into bed? Well, you know, you've got to make sure that they've got a dry diaper on so that that doesn't cause, you know, bed sores or anything, or infections. And
mm-hmm.
then you've got to make sure that their clothes are changed or they're comfortable and their meds are taken. And suddenly the last thing on their mind is their teeth. And I understand that. And
mm-hmm.
that's why dental hygienists should be allowed to be doing this, because that's our area. That's top notch. We can't go down the street looking or go to a movie without looking into someone's mouth and looking that, you know, Ace got a little bit. I mean, I'm constantly accused by my family. Stop looking at their teeth. But that's our area.
I can't help it either. That's all I see, our teeth. You know, the good teeth, they're bad
yeah.
teeth, they're crooked, they're light, they're dark, they're round, they're small, they're
yeah.
big, they're too many, too
oh,
few.
Oh, my gosh, in between their
what kind of lip is that? This is a small lip, this is a big lip. You know, oh, my God, it's terrible. That's really, I've
yeah.
never heard it, anybody else really say it, but it's really true.
That is our nirvana, Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we live by that. That's first and foremost on our minds. And how many times, you know, I've heard you say, your patient assessment starts from the moment they get up from that chair and you call their name. And we're looking
yep.
at everything. And, of course, our eyes focus on their mouth. So that is our training. And so, of course, that's the first thing we think of. And, you know, so that's – but you flip the coin – and these health professionals, the nurses and the CNAs, that's not their area, but they will watch the color, the changes in different things. And where we focus on the mouth, they focus on the body and their walk and their breathing and their speech and everything else. So that's the trained eye.
Well, the problem is very, very huge. I called a nurse who had published a paper on reduction of pneumonia. We just have a couple seconds left here. Reduction of pneumonia
mm-hmm.
in a hospital by increasing oral care oral care. They saved $1.6 million, okay? And they saved at least 8 lives that they could attribute to this protocol. So when I called her, I said, why is it that you didn't use hygienists and la, 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 exactly what we were just talking about. And she goes, well, just wait a minute. We saved that amount of money because the nurses are already there. We didn't have to get new employees to do it. And I said, if you hired a hygienist, I don't think it would impact temp savings by that much. And really,
no.
when you get down to it, they could have saved maybe even double that. So
You're
she
right.
couldn't hear what I was saying. And I asked her at the end to, in the future, please at least have one sentence in her paper to reflect that dental hygienists may be better or would have been employed had the rules of the state not impeded on that or something. Just one sentence. She told me that the dental hygienist and dentist trained the nurses. I was like, why stop there?
I've asked my daughter. My daughter just graduated in, I believe, 2006 from nursing school. And I asked her, how much dental care or dental instructions have you gotten in your education? And she says, I learned how to take one of those little sponge things and swab them out. That's
mm-hmm.
it. That was the only reference that they had gotten in 4 years of school. And she went to She graduated from Loyola. It's a reputable school. This is their nursing care. This is the this is the oral care that they get.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's frustrating.
Yes, it is frustrating.
And we do have legal issues. I have approached the nursing home, and I you know, it's a wonderful place, but I'm all caught up right now in the legal issues because they don't want to take on a hygienist that might do something where the CNAs are supposed to be doing it. And if someone hires a hygienist to do it, why are those residents not getting it? It's frustrating.
Right, yeah.
Because the bottom
line
is,
it makes them look bad, yeah.
Right, and no one's willing to take a stand on it, and the bottom line is, who loses out? The older people, the elders, our residents. And mm-hmm. It's just absolutely frustrating. So,
and
I even
the,
had a patient,
the more people, go ahead.
I had a friend of mine whose mother just had an aortic valve replaced, and she wanted to get the hygiene High Life services for her, and because she just had this procedure done, the physician had said. Or she wanted to have her physician's approval on it. And I said, absolutely, talk to your cardiologist, explain things. Here is my card. I would love to talk with them and explain this. The cardiologist came back and said, you know, I know that there's a lot of connections between the teeth and the heart, so don't. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Wow.
I'm trying to help you. Don't brush and floss her teeth. They don't get it.
This is part of this discussion here that we kind of skirt around all the time, and this probably has to be the last thing we can talk about right now, and that is the xylitol angle or the biofilm management without mechanical intervention.
Right.
So the xylitol part of this reduces the biofilm and disallows it from aggregating and accumulating on the teeth.
Correct.
So that alone will help reduce the amount of biofilm available to be aspirated or to enter into the bloodstream and yada, yada, the whole inflammatory question. So,
absolutely.
So the brushing and the flossing, I guess I could understand because you're opening wounds and you're creating bleeding and yada, yada, but you need to have a hygienist in there because nurses certainly only know about the toothette, the sponge on a stick. They don't know about xylitol. They don't know about some of the other biofilm management tools that don't include mechanical manipulation of that oral biofilm. So
correct.
There you go, everybody who's listening. Make sure you spread this issue around. share this link with the whole world. So, Carol, thank
absolutely.
You so much for helping me spread the word about oral care and long-term
well,
care.
You.
And thanks for what you're doing for your mother and making noise over at the nursing home that she's in, because this is a big problem. We are a huge answer that nobody even knows is here. It's unbelievable. So have a great
true.
Rest thank of day.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for bringing more light to this.
You're listening to CrossLink Radio with host Shirley Gutkowski. If you enjoy the content and point of view, please leave a favorable review on Stitcher, iTunes, or Blog Talk Radio. To have Shirley be your personal oral health coach, you can reach out to her via email, shirley@crosslinkradio.com.